There's plenty of stuff to learn from startup, the can-do mentality, the pace. This is what corporates definitely can learn in the way in setting things up and also executing things.
Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you are in the world. This is the Digital Supply Chain Podcast, the number one podcast focusing on the digitization of supply chain. And I'm your host, Global Vice President at SAP, Tom Raftery. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Digital Supply Chain Podcast. My name is Tom Raftery with SAP. And with me on the show today, I have Christian. Christian, would you like to introduce yourself?
Thank you, Tom. Thank you for inviting me to your show. Thank you for having me in your podcast. Certainly, I can introduce myself. I'm part of the SAP product engineering team and heading the startup engagement team. That's combining, giving me the pleasure to work on new innovative stuff and bringing in the experience and the background from the past. So we work with startups and look and bring them together with our own portfolio.
So, Christian, you're involved with startups. That's interesting because most people, when they think of SAP, they think of large companies. They don't necessarily think of startups. Can you tell me how are we engaging with startups? What's that about?
Well, it's quite exciting, and there are different ways to engage with startups, and it's not only SAP that is engaging with startups. Many corporates do that. So corporate startup collaboration has a history since a while. What we do from my team, the startup and engagement, we look for more mature startups that have complementary solutions, complementary with our own portfolio, and it's a classical 1+1 gets more formula. So at the end, we do that with a business-driven approach for the benefit of our customers, so where we see white spaces or where we see where we can speed up innovation with stuff from the ecosystem. We select startups and then work with them on the integrated use case, help them technically integrating into SAP portfolio, and at the end also help them scale, giving them access to our customer platform.
Okay. Now you say mature startups. How do you define a mature startup?
Very good question. And I think there's no one single formula in that one. Of course, for those that know the startup scene longer term, there's pre-seed, seed, series A, B, C. For us, it's important that there's also kind of a product and a first MVP there. Interestingly, if there are first customers that the startup is working with, so, something usually that is in series A stage or beyond, that is interesting for us to engage then 1+1.
Okay. And we have a strong relationship as well with partner companies. How do we differentiate between a startup and a partner company? Where does that kind of division lie?
Indeed, we have a strong partner ecosystem. I think that's the part of the SAP success story, that we built our 48-year history on a huge ecosystem. Well, startups even can come from partner ecosystem. Some startups, they grew and have been founded in the partner ecosystem. So I think there is no kind of differentiation. I would see, in my terminology, a startup as a kind of lead and opportunity on the way to become a next generation SAP partner. So it's like a kind of lead management and opportunity, like a sales opportunity. You start early stage, you work on certain things, and not any or every lead ends up successfully, like you do not close any sales deal. Some of them go faster, some of them you need to spend more time. And the interesting play, what I found out, let's say the last 1.5 years, when you ask regarding a difference in regards of partner, I think one play we have combining even startups and introducing them to our established mature partners, because mature partners with very niche expertise like manufacturing, supply chain, they know our customer base, they know the SAP solution, so they can even help and integrate startups startups into their portfolio, and at the end help also the startup to do the go-to-market together in the installed base from the partner, but then also grow the entire innovation story of the partners that are already in the ecosystem.
Okay, and if I am a startup, how do I engage with SAP? What's the kind of process that I go through?
Different ways. Depends also on the maturity. We have our kind of brand externally, which is SAP IO, the SAP framework engaging with startups. So we have so-called foundry programs, acceleration programs in different cities. That's one part, me being from the product engineering division. We have a direct line where we kind of have one simple email address, startups@sap.com. That's everyone that listens to the podcast can drop me an email to that one. That's basically the incoming channel, where we then, as part of our role, run also a dispatching role. I call this outside in. So basically, I see my team and the responsibility to judge the incoming startups in terms of is it complementary with the SAP portfolio? And then the next step, even more important, to dispatch to the right colleagues inside SAP. Because it was also a statement of the World Economic Forum, I think 2018, there's a good paper out there. More or less every startup has contacts into the corporate world, but it matters to whom in the corporate world they have contacts. Does this person have a kind of DNA to that topic, budget, time? Is it on top of the stack, or is it just somewhere? And that's what we kind of ensure for the stuff that is complementary, that we look, is it supply chain, is it finance, and then we connect to the right people in our engineering department. And then it's important to understand, is it something left, middle, or right-hand side of the Autobahn? That depends on the speed you work together to accelerate the integration.
Okay. And if I am a startup and I am thinking of maybe doing this, why would I? What do I get from it as a startup? What's my benefit?
A very good one, Tom. So the what's in it for me? Well, my learning was that startups in the first wave and with the first priority do not come to SAP because of budget and funding. That's definitely something different. More or less, they look for experts. They look for reaching out to our installed customer base. And even some of their customers, they ask the startup to probably work with SAP in terms of integrations. And makes a kind of mix. Again, depends on the majority of the startup. Definitely money-wise, it's not the kind of only criteria. And where we can help startups with our 48 years history on kind of developing enterprise business software in terms of making startup solutions enterprise and corporate ready, in terms of security stuff, scalability, accessibility, language topics. Those are the interesting ones. Again, interesting for startups that are more in the kind of mature area where we then help them also to scale.
Okay. What about help with go-to-market or anything like that?
Well, part of the engagement we do very early stage, after we have defined the use case, the kind of 1+1 technology-wise, we look for first customers, look in our install base. And that is, for me, a very important thing, that we have an integrated case, that we have a first customer that we proved. And once that is there, we can reach out to our 20,000 plus big sales team to engage with startups and our solutions. So the 1+1 formula is, at the one hand side, for customers where we have already solutions implemented, customers that are using our installed digital supply chain solutions or S4HANA, or for customers that are currently looking in and working with our sales teams on the solutions. So there we introduce it right away together with our solutions, the 1+1 from the very beginning, to really have an integrated sales pitch and an integrated talk.
Okay. Now, I come from a startup background myself. I started several companies and now I'm working for SAP, and I've been working for SAP for almost 4 years. And the cultures between startups and SAP are quite different. Does that present challenges for startups, or what other kind of challenges do startups face when they start engaging with large companies like SAP?
Oh, I like that question. It's a very good one. And are there challenges for startups? I would say, there are also challenges and learnings on the corporate side. So on both sides, not only on the startup side. So definitely, it's different cultures. It's cultural clashes. So I usually compare corporates like SAP or many of our customers with ocean tankers. Mm-hmm. And startups are the kind of more speedboats, so to say. And in the past, I had the pleasure to also work on innovation internally. It's a kind of internal speedboat. But from a cultural topic, we learned that it's important to bring the speedboat colleagues and salesmen early enough together with the salesmen on the tanker. So at the end, I call that the not invented by me syndrome. So where the corporates usually are proud what they do, and then what comes from outside from a small company, does it create value, too much risk, and all that stuff, we all know that. And from a speedboat perspective, it's important that we integrate to one point in time the startup solutions together with the people that are responsible on the tanker side. And that more or less does not matter whether or not you have an innovation garage internally, many corporates have that, or startup. You come to the same problem to one point in time once you have to integrate that. You enter that question how to, and that's one reason why we evolved and set up a role that we call Innovation Ambassador. So basically, when I took on the role, I said, I don't need hundreds of people who are working in a startup engagement team. I was more looking to have people on the tanker, as part of the tanker, that work closely with us as a team, and we give those tanker salesmanship the possibility to work on the speedboat and vice versa. So basically, we build a ladder and a connection with the speedboat and tanker. And so from the very beginning, we have the tanker involved, even at the point of selection of the startup. And then you kind of work towards the cultural challenges. And of course, we use the collaboration and the work with startups to also speed up our own innovation culture. There's plenty of stuff to learn from startup, the can-do mentality, the pace. This is what corporates definitely can learn in the way setting things up and also executing things.
Okay. I was watching an interview on Bloomberg last weekend with Jürgen Müller, our innovation officer, and he was being interviewed about the rollout of the contact tracing app in Germany, which obviously was developed by SAP and Deutsche Telekom. And the interviewer from Bloomberg mentioned to him that there's a huge difference in startup mentalities between Europe and the US. He was specifically talking now about Silicon Valley and Germany. And he said, look, you get obviously lots of startups coming out of Silicon Valley and you get very few unicorns in particular. He was talking about in Germany. And the podcast I'm about to publish on Fridays with Marcel Vollmer of Celonis, who are, one of Germany's new unicorns and one of the very few. So there is kind of that marked difference in culture and startup culture, I think, between Europe and the US. Now, the Bloomberg interviewer was asking, is it down to culture? Is it down to universities? Is it down to VCs? And Jürgen was kind of saying, look, it's a little bit of everything. But have you seen that? Is there a big regional difference between where startups come from and to what would you ascribe that?
First of all, I would second Jürgen's message. It's a bit of everything. Can be education, can be schooling, can be the culture for sure. I personally worked during my 22 years inside SAP, also in different regions in the US. I just came back with family in 2019 from Singapore. And also worked in Singapore, get to know quite a bunch of startups. So it's the kind of ecosystems that are there from the right of the beginning. Yeah? In Germany, when you take that example, we probably have a huge manufacturing history where we can also be proud of. Yeah? But that also kind of established a certain culture, yeah? The kind of insight making or the topic which I described and not invented by me syndrome. But what I learned also the last couple of years, there were great startup hotspots in EMEA. So a lot of things are ongoing. I would say from a kind of cultural difference, I would not see too many differences when I compare it with my time in Singapore and right now in Europe or being back in Europe. Would I have a different view 5 or 6 years back? Yes. So I think a lot of stuff happened in speeding that up. Educational system-wise, that's a kind of topic you're speaking, or I would speak out of my heart. I have an 8 years old son. He also went to school in Singapore. And when you compare the kind of education systems in there, much more open, much more digitalized. This is something where Europe and probably also Germany needs to further speed up. Yeah, and Corona now is when there's anything positive on Corona, it's a wake up call, which hopefully also brings in kind of a further digitalization in the education, early stage, not only universities.
Very true. Do you have any good examples of startups that have engaged with SAP that you can tell us about?
We'll be right back.
Elevate your brand with the Sustainable Supply Chain Podcast, the exclusive voice in supply chain sustainability. Last year, this podcast's episode were downloaded 113,000 times by senior executives across the world, with listeners concentrated in the EU, North America, and Asia. Become a sponsor. Lead the conversation. Contact me for sponsorship opportunities and turn downloads into dialogues. Act today. Influence the future.
Well, there are plenty. The last, let's say, 1.5 years, we did also programs together with our SAP.io Foundry colleagues. So probably in times of actual Corona and COVID topics, maybe let's use some samples in that area. So in the finance area and in the compliance field, we worked with a startup program, and one startup out of there is IrisTrace, headquartered in Spain. So they have developed compliance rules that we also then integrated as part of the program with our S4 solution. Because they are based out of Spain, they immediately, once Corona became a hotspot in Spain, they developed compliance rules for interim hospitals, yeah, to double check, okay, controlling beds in hospitals, disinfection, fill rates and stuff like this. And meanwhile, the solution is used for hospitals in Spain. And the interesting part is we are now using it SAP internally as well, doing pilot stuff with our reopening of our facilities. We just started a pilot with our facility management to basically do compliance. Are the fill rates of the disinfection liquids up and running? Is it low level? Is it upper level? So this is stuff where we also use then startups internally. So basically SAP runs startup. The other one, I briefly want to mention is because I just have been with them 1 week ago in our own warehouse. So we have also a small warehouse close to our headquarters where we introduced the startup Navis. They have capabilities to build a digital twin of manufacturing sites and of warehouses. So actually that was the first starting point on our side to build a kind of living lab. That's what we want to do with startups and our own solutions in our warehouse, in our own headquarters. And once we have the facilities digitalized, and if you have a digital twin, you can link it, of course, to our real estate solution. You can link it to our asset management solutions. And by accident, there was one lamp on the wall damaged while they recorded. So we immediately had a use case. So imagine that the workers in that facility, they have the digital twin on their smartphones. So immediately they can log in and just by typing on the digital twin, they can create a maintenance order. And it's immediately transparent for facility management that there's something to be maintained. So it's basically the story that motivates me and the team, the 1+1. And of course, we are test driving that. Other ones, Intranav probably to mention, they have sensors which allows to track basically along the supply chain goods. So it's important these days, not only these days, but in particular in times of Corona, to really track not only inside your manufacturing site, but also in the inbound and outbound, where is your parts of supply, where is your finished good. And that's basically capable with Intranav in real-time capabilities. So just 3 samples.
Okay. Any in the sustainability space? I think that's a topic that's close to my own heart.
Thanks for asking, Tom. So I've had the pleasure to join our product engineering board member, Thomas Sauer-Essig, who is responsible for product engineering in January at Davos, where, of course, we talked a lot about sustainability. Thomas himself introduced also our development roadmap, what we call Climate 21. Mm-hmm. And even prior to that, last year, we started working together with green tech startups out of the location in Paris, together with SAP IO Foundry in Paris. And there have been plenty of startups in the kind of waste management area or circular economy area. One startup out of that is calling themselves, they are the Tinder of waste. Yeah? So basically kind of platform that brings waste producers with companies that reuse waste together.
Interesting.
Kind of a classical platform. And when you combine that with our procurement platform, Ariba, you can imagine what is possible in a kind of circular economy perspective. So just from that sample, they know from public data which company, for example, is producing French fries in France. It's out there, public data, okay? You can scroll that and you know that. And then you can imagine, okay, if you are a manufacturer of French fries, of course, waste is potentially peeled potatoes.
Yeah.
So, then you can imagine, who is using peeled potatoes, maybe for pig feeding or in any other use case. But imagine now we combine this then also with our ERP flagship solution S4, and the French fries manufacturer is using S4HANA for planning the manufacturing. So you not only know that there's peeled potatoes, you know it up front that on Friday there are 10 tons peeled French fries produced, and there is about 1,000 kilograms of peeled potatoes. So you can proactively get into that circular economy and waste management. So that's quite a bunch of interesting stuff. And again, startup@sap.com could be interesting. One of the hot areas that we're currently focusing is really sustainability, where we really want to look in and combine our Climate 21 activities with the ecosystem. And that's where I'm personally also very passionate, as you mentioned about yourself. I'm a strong believer in the power of we, and in particular in sustainability. I think that can only be done together with a strong ecosystem and together with our customers.
Okay. We're coming towards the end of the show now, Christian. Is there anything I've not asked you that you think is important for people to be aware of?
Probably one thing, the kind of SAP runs startup I already mentioned with the staff and the facility side. So in terms of how we're engaging with customers, and what's interesting for me and the team is basically three topics. So the first thing, I'm looking for early adopters and leads for the startups that we have already in the portfolio. The second one I call power couple. So basically, I'm interested to look for any customer that is already working with startups that we do not know, but which would be interesting to integrate with the SAP solution for the benefit of the customer and the startup. And the third bullet would be white spaces. So at the end, to understand from a market perspective, from a customer perspective, where does it make sense from a customer pain point and customer direction to work proactively in the space to combine SAP solutions with startups?
Okay, great. If people want to know more about how to engage with SAP, if people in startups want to know more about how to engage, if they want to know more about our engagement program, where would you have me direct them?
Well, certainly I'm on LinkedIn. Christian Bose, definitely you'll find me. The other one I mentioned, startup@sap.com. And also take a look on the sap.io page, which is basically the outside branding and framework for SAP engagement with startups. And last but not least, feel free to also drop me an email, christian.bose@sap.com.
Superb. Christian, that's been fantastic. Thanks a million for coming on the show.
Well, thanks for having me in. It was a pleasure to be with you. Thanks, Tom.
Okay, we've come to the end of the show. Thanks, everyone, for listening. If you'd like to know more about digital supply chains, head on over to sap.com/digital supply chain or simply drop me an email to tom.raftery@sap.com. If you like the show, please don't forget to subscribe to it in your podcast application of choice to get new episodes as soon as they're published. Also, please don't forget to rate and review the podcast. It really does help new people to find the show. Thanks. Catch you all next time.